benefits of current mediation efforts. They point out any new approach would require consensus among key regional actors and a clearer mechanism for enforcing commitments on all sides and a more sustainable political roadmap for Gaza.
What will Israel do? Will it continue to violate the ceasefire? This is an existential question for all the countries who have agreed to this US-backed solution. How long will they allow Israel to kill innocent Palestinian children? No, they will reconsider.
The debate points to a wider re-evaluation underway throughout the Muslim world, suggesting that Gaza's future may hinge on a new coordinated regional strategy that could reshape the way the conflict is addressed. Khanwa Muhyiddin, Islamabad.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners, to Iran Radio. Here is a quick look at what's still to come on your favorite station. We've lined up more captivating programs, so be sure to stay with us. Coming up this hour is Q&A on Islamic beliefs. That will be followed by Kids Corner. The program is all about children and child's play, a fun program specially made for children. And later, stay tuned for Leader's Speech. Up next, Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Stay with us. We're honored to have you company.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering it down some questions. And questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan?
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. That is question and answer on Islamic beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Karimi is over here from the Islamic House of Qom to answer today's question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
In the text of the Holy Quran, Surah 15, Ayah 29, also Surah 38, Ayah 72, we have a phrase, I breathe into him of my spirit. And my here refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many people might ask, what does it mean exactly by my spirit over here and breathing into this, in fact, human being, Sheikh Karimi? And also, if so, my spirit is the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breathing into human beings. So how the existence of evil in human beings and in their actions, we can say, can be justified.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. First of all, we need to know and we need to understand the true meaning of the verse nafakhtu fihi min ruhi. As you mentioned, I breathe into it from my soul. Now, min ruhi, from my soul, has led some people to think that as human beings, we share the soul with God. I mean, this soul is something that we have it. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has it, which is not the case. I mean, in the discussions of Kalam and theology, it is proved that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, he is immaterial. He does not have any body.
Mm-hmm.
But no one knows about the true essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one point. And second of all, laysa kamithlihi shay. No one can be compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
So to claim that, I mean, the soul is something that we share with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very wrong understanding of the verse. Min ruhi does not mean that the soul that we have within us is the same soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, not at all. As I explained in one of the previous episodes, technically speaking, this structure in Arabic language is called idafa tashrifiya.
Mm-hmm.
If I would like to explain it through some other examples, we know that the Holy Kaaba is called Baytullah.
Yes.
The house of God. Now, doesn't mean that na'udhu billah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is staying there, is residing there. No. That house, that building is called the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show the greatness of this place. So Kaaba is called the house of God because of its great status,
mm-hmm,
and value.
All right.
Or the month of Ramadan is called Shahrullah, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns this month and, mm-hmm, he does not own the other month? No. It is just to show the greatness and significance of the holy month of Ramadan. So the same is true regarding nafakhtu fihi min ruhi. If ruh, the soul of the human being, is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't mean that it is the same soul of the soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. It is just showing the greatness of the soul. The fact that, I mean, the true personality of every person is not his or her physical features. Rather, it is their soul.
Does ruh means spirit or soul here?
Yeah.
Or no, it has something else?
No, it means soul and spirit.
Okay, so I mean, couldn't mean, for example, from the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, or Johar or Zat or something?
No,
does that mean that?
No.
Okay.
Even in that case, we do not have anything shared between us and the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I explained in one of the previous episodes, we do not know about the true essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the soul that in chapter Mu'minun, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about different stages of the creation of human beings, like from nutfa, then to alaqa and mudgha, finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٌ. Then we create the human beings with a new creation. Allah. This is the time that the soul is breathed into the human body, right?
Right.
So this is the same soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to in these two verses, نَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ.
مِنْ رُوحِ, that's right.
Now the question is that I think I have also answered the second part.
That's right.
So the question was that if this is this divine soul, why some human beings turn out to be criminals?
One question. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I breathe into human beings from my own soul, does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not breathe into other creatures, like, for example, animals or plants or jinns, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is only specifically for human being? We have only this ayah about human being in the Holy Quran?
Yeah. You have two questions. This is the only verse in the Quran regarding the human being, yes.
Okay.
For other Christians, we do not have the verse.
Such a
that,
verse, okay.
There is a kind of breathing of divine soul, uh-huh, into them. But the point is that, as I mentioned, نَفَخْتُ فِيهِمْ مِنْ رُوحِي, mm-hmm, means that the very fact that the human beings are blessed with a soul is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. And this soul is great. Is very significant. That is why it is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
All right.
For other creatures, also, the whole process is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If an animal is created, it is within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that we have also animal soul, they have plant soul. Okay, so they are also given these physical features and the animal soul, plant soul by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the jinn. But it is only in the case of the human beings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Rafaqtu fi human ruhi because of the greatness of human beings as divine khalifa.
Khalifatullah,
divine caliph over the earth.
Okay.
And this is not the case for the jinn, for the animals, and for the plants.
All right, very good.
Now, having said that, the same question is mentioned regarding the fitrah, the divine innate nature.
That's right.
So we know that according to the Quran, fitratullah allati fatara an-nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings with a divine fitra, innate nature. So the question is that if this is the case, then why we have so many people deviating from this straight path? And the same question that you mentioned, that if this is the soul coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why do we have criminals?
All right.
The point is that according to the explanation of the Imam of the Ahl al-Bayt alayhi salam, under the verse, Fitratullah allati fatara an-nasa alayha, all human beings are created pure. Kullu mawlidin yuladu ala al-fitra. Every person is born with the divine innate nature. Then it is their parents that make him or her a Jewish or a Christian. This is a translation of an erosion. Which means that every person, when they are born, they are created with this monotheistic tendency.
All right.
Okay. But then we have some factors which mislead the people. Okay. And we cannot negate the role of those factors. One of them is, for example, what we call it veratha or inheritance.
All right.
I mean, today it is in science, it is proved that to some extent, only factor, but to some extent, the features, the characters, even the beliefs that we have are inherited to us from our parents. And that is why in the verses of the Quran and also in the narrations, there are many points regarding how to choose your spouse, whether for both men and women. We are highly encouraged to be very much cautious and selective in terms of choosing our partner, our spouse, because of the role that they are going to play in the destiny of our children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter Baqarah, verse 221,
right.
And do not marry polytheistic women until they believe. And a believing slave woman is better than a polytheist, even though she might please you. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, I mean, there might be some ladies who might be attractive in terms of physical beauty, but they are polytheists. What matters is the faith, is the, iman, and وَلَا تُنْكَحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمَنُوا. The same is true regarding the men. Addressing women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and do not marry polytheistic men until they believe, and a believing a slave is better than a polytheist, even though he might please you. So the point is that this verse and many narrations, they tell us that, for example, إِيَّاكُمْ وَخَضْرَاءَ الدِّمَنِ. The Holy Prophet said, be cautious about خَضْرَاءَ الدِّمَنِ. And the companions asked, what do you mean by خَضْرَاءَ الدِّمَنِ? The Prophet said, الْمَرْأَةُ الْحَسْنَى فِي مَنْبَتِ السُّوءِ. A beautiful woman, lady, but the one who does not have a good character. So all these verses and narrations tell us that inheritance plays a role in the shaping the physical in shaping the character of our children.
That's right.
So my point is that although all people are created with divine nature, but then there are some characters that they may mislead him or her. One of them is inheritance. The other is environment, place, and time. We shouldn't forget about the role of the, for example, friends, or the country that you live has a role, the city, the neighborhood, and then when you go to a school, the school that you choose for your children,
that's right,
the type of friends that they are associating with. The story of the Noah's son is very famous.
Okay.
He is the son of a prophet, but maybe because of associating bad people, he turns out to be a very wicked person. Uh-huh. He does not believe in Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. So the Prophet's son, Nuh's son, is born into a believing family. So in terms of inheritance, everything is fine. But because of the fact that he chooses to, associate with negative people, he turns out to be a disbeliever.
Okay.
So to wrap up the discussion, as I mentioned, all these factors, all the people are born with divine innate nature, but then we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us free will. He is not going to force human beings to be monotheistic. No, we have free will. And if we just follow our innate nature, we will remain monotheistic. But as I mentioned, there are factors which may mislead the people. One of them being inheritance. That is why we need to be careful about selecting our, the one that we are going to marry. Imam Ar-Ridha alayhi salam said, regarding a person who was going to marry a person who was suffering from bad temperedness. The Imam says, لَا تُزَوَّجْهُ إِنْ كَانَ سَيِّئَ الْخُلْقِ. If he is a bad-tempered person, then do not marry him. And many other narrations referring to the same point, that inheritance plays a role. Also, the place that we live, the environment, the colleagues, the friends, the school, and so on and so forth, all these play a role in shaping the character of each and every one of us.
Okay, that's right. Of course, this ayah has been interpreted by different scholars in different ways. For example, philosophers like Mullah Sadra have their own elaboration. Mystics or Rafa have their own jurisprudence too. So for more elaboration, you have to refer to the books of these scholars in different fields of studies. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding this ayah. It was very kind of you, Sheikh.
My pleasure.
And dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. Please, for more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, we leave you in Allah's care. Goodbye.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي It's so hard for an innocent angel to breathe on the earth far from heaven. But for my angel, it was much harder to see me lost in the fire. Spin breath and run.
Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, kids.
Hey, man.
Hey, girl.
Hello.
Hi.
My brothers, my sisters, and all of my gentle friends. This is a song that I have learned. Let's sing it to
welcome
the
to
end.
Kids Corner. And you know, you're not going to go wrong when you're at Kids Corner.
We say assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum, dude.
Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam.
You're listening to Brother Ali at Kids Corner. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Okay. Alright, good job, mashallah, you guys are doing it. Ah, good question, good question. I'm about to answer that question.
Our sole direction, he knows everything, past or future, and aware of every word or gesture. Whatever we do is under his sight, be it done in the dark.
Kids Corner. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin was salatu was salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tayyibin at-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad
wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajan. Welcome, dear listeners.
Hello.
Hi.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
And this is Brother Ali at Kids
Corner.
Yeehaw!
All right, welcome, everyone. You're at the right place and at the right time. And this is Kids Corner.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Wa alaikum assalam. Come to the masjid, come to the masjid. Wash and pray, wash and pray. These are the things that will keep the devil away.
And brothers and sisters, what were we talking about in the last session?
Etiquette of leaving the house.
Very good. Leaving, how do we leave the house? Islam talks about that too. Can you believe that? Islam talks about how to eat. Eating etiquette. Drinking. Sitting. What else did we talk about?
How to perform salat.
Salat?
Salat.
Salat? Etiquette? We talked about that.
Drinking etiquette.
Drinking. Okay, we talked about that.
Dressing etiquette.
Dressing etiquette. Uh-huh. We talked about that. And we talked about sitting, and we're going to talk about, leaving the house. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the etiquette of leaving the house, and then we're going to talk about traveling etiquette in the same session. Tell me, what did we say?
When we leave the house, what should we say, Imam Rida alayhi salam? There was a saying of Imam
Rida. We should say this ayah, that Bismillah.
It's not an ayah, but it's yeah, okay.
It's
Bismillah, very good.
Bismillah, tawakkaltu
Amanto.
Amanto billah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, masha'allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-aliyy al-azim.
Ahsan. Salawat, please, for the young lady. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Good job.
Yeah. Woohoo! Good job, people.
Great. So we said, Hashim, if we do this, if we say this, what is the philosophy behind this? Do you have an idea? Like, when we say this, when we get out of the house, what does that say?
It says that Allah protects us, and the angel comes and says us that...
Yeah, that is the saying of the Holy Prophet.
Yeah.
There's another saying. But I'm saying, what do we learn? Like, when we say this, like we say, Bismillah, amantu billah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, mashallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
We're remembering Allah?
They're remembering Allah. Very good.
Way to go!
So when we remember Allah, when we leave the house, just when we step out of the house, we remember Allah, then are we going to go out and sin? No, we're not going to do that. Right? Because we're remembering, we're so much, mashallah, we're remembering Allah right when we leave the house. Correct? Then we won't sin. Correct? So that's good. And then, like you said, Sumayya, that there's a saying of the Holy Prophet that the angels say, like when you say Bismillah, angels say that
you're safe,
you know, and yeah, that is different. Very good. Ahsan. Now, we say when we say this and we take out sadaqah, and when we're in the neighborhood, we greet people. We don't just walk without noticing them. No, we greet people. Doesn't matter, young or old, doesn't matter. We greet them, correct? And then what else do we do?
If we're not in a hurry, we help an old person.
Old person, very good.
Old person or a kid or something.
Or anyone, yeah. Anyone. Anybody needs help, any brother, and especially old people, like, need help, you know, if you're not hurry. If you're in a hurry, then go to school, man. You're going to be late for school, right? If you are not late for school, if you're not in a hurry, go and help someone. That's good. And you get the thawab. So you get the thawab while walking, huh? What else? We can smile. That itself is a charity. When we're walking, don't be just walking with a frown look. No, smile at people. It's good. It's charity, okay? If you board a bus or a train... Yeah, bus or a train, a public, you know, transportation, right? You find a seat and you go and sit and occupy that seat. And suddenly you see an old person standing. Go and offer that seat to that old person because he deserves to sit there. Or she deserves to sit there. Correct? Old. So offer them that and you'll get the thawab. This is how you accumulate the thawab. Okay? So we should not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us and He will reward us for showing respect to the elders, right? So we got to keep that in mind when you're walking.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Now, since we're talking about etiquette of leaving the house, and let's talk about what Islam says about traveling. Okay? Do you like traveling?
I love.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go?
I went to Isfahan.
Okay.
And then I went to... I don't remember.
What else? Hamadan?
No, I went to only Mashhad.
Mashhad, yeah. Beautiful. Mashallah. How about you? Do you travel a lot?
No.
Okay.
I've traveled a bit.
I've traveled. Okay. I'll tell you now what Islam says about traveling, okay? First of all, you should know, it's very healthy and nice to travel. Very. Islam encourages traveling and sightseeing. Our imams have talked about it. Quran tells us to, what does Quran say, I'll tell you? The Holy Quran in Surah An-Kabut, ayah number 20, says,
قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ بَدَأَ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ اللَّهُ يُنْشِئُ النَّشْأَةَ الْآخِرَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ.
Say, travel through the earth and see how Allah did originate creation. So will Allah produce a later creation. For Allah has power over all things. Okay. What do we understand from this? It's basically telling us to travel. Quran is telling us to travel and see how Allah created, originated the creation. How He created everything. Okay. And how He'll produce more things later on. Basically, it's telling us to travel. So when we travel, there are so many things that we can look and ponder and say, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah, right? For example, when we travel, suppose you go to China, you will see different color people, you know? And different kinds of people, their eyes are different, SubhanAllah, huh? And their language is totally different, man. Oh my God, did you ever see how they write? Can you read it?
They write up to down.
Yeah. It's amazing, huh? Their handwriting, the script that they have is amazing. Then you see the language is different. Their writing, their culture is different. They eat with chopsticks.
Oh, yeah. I've seen films.
Yeah. And so all different, SubhanAllah, just a few thousand miles away and you'd come in a totally different place, like you're an alien there. You're like, oh my God, where am I, you know? Correct? So you learn a lot when you go and see and you say, SubhanAllah, Allah created all of these beings and they're so different. They're humans, but their actions, their face, their color or their language, everything is different, huh? But they're still humans, okay? And when we travel, we see history. We see the old ruins of the old castles.
Mm.
Did you go to Isfahan? You saw the old castles?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm.
You say, oh my God, these kings used to live here.
Mm.
And now where are they? They're dead.
Mm.
These big palaces they used to live in like and live like kings. They're like ruins right now. Huh? One time they were very powerful. Where are they? They're in the grave. So when we go, we travel, we look at these things, we ponder that these people who were very powerful at one time, where are they? They're in the grave. These palaces, you know, had so much like pomp and glory. What happened? Now they're in ruins. Correct? We look at these things, we ponder, SubhanAllah. Sayyidina lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When we travel, then we won't get, if we travel and ponder, then we will not get arrogant. But some people just travel, you know, for the heck fun of it. They won't get nothing. They'll still be, if they're arrogant, they'll be arrogant, you know. But if you go travel.
They even become more arrogant because they think, yeah, I've been here, I've been there, I've been here.
Yeah, oh man, you know, I'll tell you where I've been, you know, man. I've taken a cruise, man. Oh, man. I fly first class, you know. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, that's different. They don't ponder. If you go and ponder and think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we'll never become arrogant. And then when we travel, we can admire the beautiful landscapes and the sceneries and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we travel.
Assalamu alaikum, Zainab.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah.
Good. Can you think of any nasheeds you'd like to sing?
I know one.
Okay, which one?
Little Bird.
All right. How about if you sing it on your own?
By myself?
Yeah.
Okay, inshallah.
All right.
Little Bird, where has your mother gone? Why are you here all alone? Little
little bird, where is your nest? Why are you so far from all the rest? Allah knows the language you speak, and Allah can lift you high. Allah can bring you home again, for Allah is stronger than I. Allah is stronger than I.
So now, we talked about travel, the importance of travel. Quran says travel. Okay, there are hadiths of the imams that are saying, divide your time in 4 time slots. And one of the time slots, they said, for leisure. They said, you set it out for leisure and do some leisure act. Don't be just like studying all the time, or working, or praying all the time. Or no, have some fun also.
Or
fun all the time. Very good, Ahsan. Correct? So you got to divide your time. And one of the time slot is for leisure activities. Yeah, what's up?
I think day it was supposed to separate the day into 3 parts. 3 parts.
Some 3 or some 4. Yeah. Okay. Now let us talk about traveling etiquette. We should start with Bismillah and take out Sadaqah. Just like when we leave the house, do that. The intention of travel should be pure, like visiting the relatives, sightseeing, appreciating the wonders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, etc. The Holy Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, select a good companion, then travel. In other words, we should select a good, pious companion. Okay? Like, for example, now, suppose you're going with your family. That is different. But suppose you're going alone, have a companion, good companion with you when you go. Okay? And suppose you go with family, that's fine. You can go just with your family, that's fine. But if the companion is not pious, you know what that will happen? Then he'll play the role of shaitan. That companion who is with you, if he's not pious, then he'll lure us into doing evil things. He'll say things like, you know what? There's nobody here. Your family is back there, man. We can do anything we want. Let's sin. God forbid. He'll lure us into sinning. But if the companion is pious, then he will take us towards good. Because he'll refrain from evil, and he'll tell us to refrain from evil. God forbid if we are going towards evil. Correct? So, have a good companion. Then the vacation that we go will count as ibadat. Because when we go out with a pious companion, when we look at the scenery of, we'll be saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, mashallah, you know, and we'll be thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll stay away from haram. And we'll truly appreciate the vacation by glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're saying, alhamdulillah. So we'll be remembering Allah if we are with a good companion. But if we are with an evil one, God forbid, then this is going to be really bad. Correct? Make sense? Okay. All right. Then Islam says before we leave, we select a good companion. We should pack up the essential food, etc., for the journey.
Yeah, packing.
Yeah, pack up your stuff and pack some good food too. Take some food. Okay? So, for the journey. Otherwise, you'll be in the train and you'll be hungry, or, you know, if they don't offer food, whatever. Or if you don't have the money to buy food, so you need to have good food. And before we leave, we should bid farewell to the friends and neighbors. And the relatives. There's a saying of the Holy Prophet regarding this. Or more or less saying the same thing, basically. Okay? The gist of the hadith of the Holy Prophet is this. We should bid farewell to the relatives or the neighbors, you know. And when we board the plane, train, or bus, or the vehicle, we should recite.
Bismillah.
Okay, Bismillah. And then? Do you remember? Subhanalladhi sakhkhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Do you remember this ayah? Do you know this ayah? These are two ayahs, Surah Zukhruf, ayah number 13 and 14. We recite this.
وَتَقُولُوا سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ.
You can memorize this ayah, these ayahs, okay, when you go home. Zukhruf, ayah 13 and 14. It's very good when you board a plane, when you board a train, what have you. Just recite this and you'll be, inshallah, protected. Basically, we're saying, glory to him who has subjected these, that means these vehicles, whatever, to our use. For we could never be able to do it. Because it's him, right? He arranges these things. We think that we have the money, that's why we're flying. But alhamdulillah, we should be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to our Lord, surely must we turn back. وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. And to our Lord, surely must we turn back. So we're thinking of Allah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're thanking Him, right? And He will protect us from any calamities, inshallah. And also recite Ayat al-Kursi. Do you guys memorize Ayat al-Kursi, inshallah? Okay, good. Recite Ayat al-Kursi. And recite Surah Hamd. Surah Tawheed. You know what Surah Tawheed is?
Surah Ikhlas.
Very good. Surah Ikhlas. And what is that?
Recite?
Yeah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul huwallahu ahad. Allahu as-samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Wa lam yaqul lahu kufuwan ahad.
Very good. Ahsan. Sadaqallahu aliyul azim. And then he says, recite Surah Qadr. Surah Nas and Surah Falaq. How long will this take? Maybe five minutes maximum. Just 5 minutes. Recite these surahs in 5 minutes. Huh? Then you sit, relax, enjoy the ride. All right? Tell them, bring it on. The waitress will say, what can I bring you? Bring it on. Bring food, whatever. I'm ready. Enjoy. Enjoy the vacation. Why not? While traveling, we should help our companions. Another thing, when we're traveling, we should help our companions. We should be nice and kind to the companions. We should not have we should not get mad easily, you know, whatever. We should be nice. They're your companions. Be nice to them. Also carry, when you're traveling, carry Holy Quran with you. And also, possible, a good book with you. So you can take advantage of the free time and enjoy the reading. There's sometimes you sort of sit and enjoy just reading Quran. You know, you recite some Quran and you read a book, whatever, after that. Good, huh? Enjoy. We should not get so much into sightseeing and having fun that we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and enjoy. Have a good time. But don't forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that we should not miss the prayer time. When prayer time, we should pray. We should not sacrifice the prayers just for the sake of having fun. Too much fun. No. Have fun. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't forget Allah. Don't miss the prayers. Okay. We should do our own tasks and try and help others. Okay. And try and help our companions. We should do our own tasks. And there's a story regarding that. Inshallah, we'll talk about it in the next session. Okay. Until then, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Here's Sister Batul again with a wonderful story.
It's story time.
Once a child was walking in the forest,
going to the left and then the right.
So impressed, he pondered the sight,
seeking to discover the hidden secret.
Keep yourself tuned in here with Sister Batul.
Well, let's go.
It's story time, story time.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome, dear listeners. And today's story is about Bilal. Now, do you know who was Bilal? Bilal was originally from Abyssinia, and in Medina was one of the slaves of the tribe of Bani Jama. After he had embraced Islam, he had to suffer intense hardships at the hands of his owners. They did not like Islam for sure. During the onset of Islam in those days in Mecca, who had embraced the faith had to face great difficulties, especially those who did not possess any family or tribal support or were slaves and servants like Bilal. Some, due to the intensity of sufferings, even backtracked from their new religion. That means they gave up Islam. But Bilal, exhibiting great patience, increased in steadfastness, cause his owners increased their torture upon him. Abu Jahl would force him to lie on his stomach on the hot sands of Arabia, pin him down by means of a millstone till his brains would almost come to a boil due to the intensity of the heat, and they say to him, and then he would tell him, deny the Allah of Muhammad. However, all that Bilal would say was, Ahad, Ahad, meaning Allah is one. One of those who greatly persecuted him was Umayyah ibn Khalaf, who used to torture him repeatedly. However, Allah got back to him, because later, the same person was killed in the Battle of Badr at the hands of Bilal. Now, during one of those occasions when Bilal was being tortured, the noble prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, happened to pass by. Witnessing him, he said to Abu Bakr, had I possessed some money, I would have purchased Bilal. Later, he approached his uncle Abbas and said, purchase Bilal for me. Even as Abbas went in search of the woman who owned him, Bilal was being subjected to torture and persecution, lying under the weight of heavy stones and almost on the verge of death. Abbas approached the woman and expressed his desire to purchase Bilal, whereupon she began to criticize and speak ill of Bilal, but eventually she sold him. Thus Bilal, because of his patience in the face of torture, became free and entering into the service of the noble prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, he became his muezzin. That means the one who says the adhan, the call of prayers, the call for prayers. When he says the adhan, people come for prayers to the mosque. I hope you enjoyed the stories, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
I am a Muslim, dedicated, keen on being educated. Need I am and well behaved, in every affair well arranged. Need I am and well behaved.
See you next time, same time, same channel.
Our love, our Lord, the sole creator. Glory to him, the best supporter. Allah, the best of the apostles. He is the greatest of prophets. Allah, the best of the apostles. He is the greatest of prophets. And my darling mom, I love her much. Who overwhelmed me with her touch. My dad is striving for my interest. Among my friends, he is the best. My dad is striving for my interest. Among my friends, he is the best. I am a Muslim, dedicated, keen on being educated. Need I am and well behaved, in every affair well arranged. Need I am and well behaved, in every affair well arranged.
Our
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
The following is part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with school and university students. The meeting took place in the Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi Husayniyah on November 3, 2025, on the eve of Student Day and the National Day of Fighting Global Arrogance. The U.S. dealt a heavy blow to the Iranian people. This is what happened on the 28th of Mordad. From that moment on, the Iranian nation came to know the U.S. It knew what a dangerous entity the U.S. was for the country. So we have known the U.S. since the 28th of Mordad. It wasn't something new to us. What I want to say is that after the coup took place, they brought the fugitive Mohammad Reza back to the country. And for 25 years, that hard-hearted, tough, oppressive dictator ruled the people. During all of that time, the United States stood by Mohammad Reza and supported him. The U.S. was a source of assurance for him. Now, this true enemy of the Iranian nation has an embassy here. This true enemy of the Iranian nation. When the revolution took place, the Americans were the first to oppose it. The U.S. Senate passed a resolution against the Iranian nation and against the revolution. Soon afterward, they allowed Mohammad Reza entry into the United States. They housed him in a hospital under the pretext of medical treatment, but their political and security agencies maintained contact with them. The Iranian nation realized this, and the people were furious. Demonstrations against the U.S. erupted in the streets. Why? Because the people sensed that the events that had taken place on the 28th of Mordad were about to be repeated, and that taking Mohammad Reza to the U.S. was a prelude to bringing him back to Iran using the various methods the Americans have. The people became furious. They took to the streets and staged demonstrations. A part of these demonstrations was the movement of the university students who entered the embassy and seized it. However, they didn't intend to stay in the embassy. It's important for everyone to understand this. The students weren't planning on staying inside the embassy. They only wanted the world to see the Iranian nation's fury over the U.S. granting entry to the Shah. That was all. Their intention was to go, stay for 2 or 3 days, and then come out. This was the students' intention. But after they went inside the embassy, they discovered documents there showing that the matter was much graver than they had initially thought. This wasn't just about a resolution passed by the U.S. Senate. The U.S. Embassy was a center for conspiracy, plotting, and strategizing to sabotage the revolution.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you.
with Iran Radio, and here are some interesting facts about Islam. Let's listen to it. Every Muslim tries to visit Mecca at least once in his or her lifetime. This special visit is called a Hajj. Typically, more than 2.5 million pilgrims visit Mecca during the annual Hajj pilgrimage. Islamic law divides food and other products into three different types. One is halal, which are foods that you are allowed to eat. The other one is makruh, or foods that may be eaten but that are discouraged. And haram, or forbidden foods, such as pork, meat of carnivorous animals, and anything that causes addiction, such as alcohol. Prophet Muhammad left Mecca and traveled to Medina in 622 AD. This event is called the Hijra migration. The Hijra marked the starting point of the Muslim calendar, and years are counted from this event. And now we'll listen to the continuation of Iran Radio. For this hour, we'll start with news. Following the news, join us for today's special. Then we dive into a curated selection from our finest radio productions. Stay tuned, news is coming up next.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
A reminder of our top stories. Israel has sparked alarm after announcing it will open the Rafah crossing only to let Palestinians leave Gaza. Pakistan and Afghanistan military forces once again exchange fire along their border areas. Both neighbors accuse one another of starting the clashes. And the Venezuelan president dismisses the U.S. military threats against his country as acts of imperialist aggression and violation of international law.
Live from Tehran, I am Bahman Nouroui, and this is news.
In yet another violation of the ceasefire in the Gaza Strip, Israeli warplanes have carried out fresh airstrikes across the Palestinian territory. At least 20 strikes were reported, hitting northern and southern areas, eastern Gaza City and the Al-Maghazi refugee camp in central Gaza. A civil defense worker died after succumbing to injuries from a strike near Al-Ibat Mosque in Beit Lahia. Since the ceasefire took effect in October, more than 360 Palestinians